Hello, folks. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Federalist Files. On today's show, what is the Pegasus Project? Biden doubles down on Facebook censorship. Project Veritas strikes again. We have more evidence coming out of Georgia and Arizona on those audits, and how Democrats are attempting to sneak in the PRO Act into the government budget.
And that's what Trump does. He has spent most of his administration seeing people on television and immediately calling them.
But maybe that's how it works sometimes,
I don't
huh?
want you to think.
Is that how it works? That's how you get access?
But I don't want you to think that what I said at that point was in any way inauthentic. I think the media has done a terrible job on this. I think you yourself, you know, while you're a nice guy, you know, you're full of sanctimony. You know, you become part of one of the parts of the problem of the media. You know, you come on here and you have a, you know, a monopoly on truth. You know exactly how things are supposed to be done. You know, you are why one of the reasons people can't stand the media. Sorry.
You're cracking me up.
It's your fault.
Hello, folks. Thank you for tuning into the show. I have a lot of news to go over today. That's Brian Stelter. He has a guy on named Michael Wolff. He is an author of a book called Landslide, The Final Days of the Trump Presidency. I would assume it was a negative depiction of Trump, whatever, his book. So this guy's not a pro-Trump guy by any means. He goes on Brian Stelter's show and just wrecks him. Says he's dishonest. He's the chief arbiter of truth. He says he's full of sanctimony, as in this fake virtue that he seems like he displays, like he's the all-encompassing virtuous one, Brian Stelter. That's how he kind of depicts himself on his show. I just thought that was really something else. That was hilarious. So yeah, to get to this show, we have this huge story, and most of the show is going to be about this Pegasus Project. This is the Guardian exclusive piece. It's written by and these are all different authors that did the investigative journalism involved in this piece: Stephanie Kirschgassner, Paul Lewis, David Pegg, Sam Cutler, Nina Lacuvani, and Michael Safi. So we have a lot of people that were involved in this project here. Well, not in the Pegasus Project, but into looking into the Pegasus Project. So I'm going to kind of go ahead, kind of read. I have a lot of picks from this article, excerpts, and I think it's very important that everybody understands this, because the power of this Pegasus Project, what it can do if it gets in the hands of, and it seems like it already has gotten into the hands of, a tyrannical government in America. In our regard, we really, this is something we have to worry about, from not only domestically but also foreign as well. So human rights activists, journalists, and lawyers across the world have been targeted by authoritarian governments using hacking software sold by the Israeli surveillance company NSO Group, according to an investigation into a massive data leak. The investigation by The Guardian and 16 other media organizations suggests widespread and continuing abuse of NSO's hacking spyware, Pegasus, it's called, which the company insists is only intended for use against criminals and terrorists. Pegasus is a malware that infects iPhones and Android devices to enable operators of the tool to extract messages, photos, and emails, record calls, and secretly activate microphones. The leak contains a list of more than 50,000. So this is only the leak. This doesn't tell you how many actual devices have been compromised by this Pegasus Project. This is just a leak of 50,000 phone numbers that it is believed have been identified as those of people of interest by clients of NSO since 2016. So to try to get everyone to follow this, there's a type of malware, okay? It is called Pegasus, the Pegasus Project. It was created by this Israeli company, surveillance company called NSO Group, and we have a lot of foreign actors that are getting involved in this. and really just using it to spy on innocent people, including journalists. I think it actually goes on to talk about journalists, lawyers, human rights activists, people that have not committed any crimes. They're not criminals, essentially. So forensic analysis of a small number of phones whose numbers appeared on the leaked list also showed more than half had traces of the Pegasus spyware. So when you backtrack all of the phone numbers that are on this list, we're finding that they have traces of this Pegasus spyware. The Guardian and its media partners will be revealing the identities of people whose names appeared on the list in the next coming days. They include hundreds of business executives, religious figures, academics, NGO employees, union officials, and government officials, including cabinet ministers, presidents, and prime ministers. So this is extremely, this is an insane amount of data that's been leaked and data that's been compromised by the Pegasus Project. So the list also contains the numbers of close family members of one country's ruler. So we have a country's ruler who has phone numbers of the family members' phone numbers are on this data leak as well, suggesting that they may be compromised or that the ruler may have instructed their intelligence agency, and this is actually something that's much more to be worried about, that the ruler instructed their intelligence agencies to explore the possibility of monitoring their own relatives. The disclosures begin on Sunday, so this is this coming Sunday they're going to release all this information, with the revelation that the numbers of more than 180 journalists are listed in the data, including reporters, editors, and executives at the Financial Times, CNN, the New York Times, France 24, The Economist, Associated Press, and Reuters as well. So the consortium's analysis, consortiums and all these investigative journalists that got together to analyze this and investigate this case, the consortium's analysis of the leaked data identified at least 10 governments believed to be NSO customers who were entering numbers into a system. So just to kind of make this clear, you have governments that are taking people's, I guess, phone numbers, and they're entering it into this system, this NSO system, Pegasus. And then what they do is essentially what I read this article. It's pretty long. We're going to go pretty in-depth on this. They will send a link. Some even can be hacked without a clickable link, but they'll send a link to a random phone to that phone number. And if that phone number clicks on it, then that that spyware is downloaded onto the phone unknowingly by the user. So these countries that are involved in this that have been released: Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Kazakhstan, Mexico, Morocco, Rwanda, Saudi Arabia, Hungary, India, and the United Arab Emirates. So we have a couple of really big names on here, the last couple or big names that everybody should know. Now, without forensic examination of mobile devices, it is impossible to say whether phones were subjected to an attempted or successful hack using Pegasus. NSO has always maintained it, and I'm quoting here, does not operate the systems that it sells to vetted government customers and does not have access to the data of its customers' targets. So what they're saying is there's a possibility that this is governments that are doing this, but it's also a possibility that people that just live in these countries with these type of IP addresses are the ones that are entering this information. Really, we don't know where it's coming from, but this is their best guess is they're saying these specific countries, but you don't know exactly if it's the government. Well, actually, it says at least 10 government believed to be. So I guess it is the government. I mean, it's just, this is such an insane story. I can't even believe this is. And I don't know if it's really getting picked up right now in the mainstream media. I'm not sure. But I figured that I needed to go over this. The NSO is also, they maintain that they don't give it, they vet their customers and they don't give it out to the government, which obviously if this is true, if this data leak is true and the investigative journalism proves itself to be true as well, then that's just, they're obviously not vetting their customers at NSO. They're handing this software out to everybody. The company sells only to military, law enforcement, and this is what my problem is. They say they don't give it to the government, but then they say this. They go, the company sells only to military, law enforcement, and intelligence agencies in 40 unnamed countries and says it rigorously vets its customers' human rights record before allowing them to use its spy tools. So yes, when you give it to the military, law enforcement, or intelligence agencies, that is giving it to the government. So saying that you don't give it to the government, you do. You give this software to the government. So it actually gives you a little breakdown. And this is straight from the NSO group. 51% of their of their customers are intelligence agencies. This is very, very scary stuff right here. 51% are intelligence agencies, not 38% are law enforcement agencies, and only 11% go to the military. So really, we're looking at a spy state from the intelligence agencies, both foreign and domestic, based upon this chart, if people are using and utilizing this NSO group, Pegasus Project. So the Israeli Minister of Defense closely regulates the NSO, granting individual export licenses before its surveillance technology can be sold to a new country. Last month, NSO released a transparency report in which it claimed to have an industry-leading approach to human rights and published excerpts from contracts with customers stipulating they must only use its products for criminal and national security investigations. So this is almost like when Fauci gave the money over to the Wuhan lab and then said, well, we told them that it wasn't supposed to be for gain-of-function research. That's what, essentially what they're doing here. This is all just them trusting the people that are using the spyware technology. So it goes on. There's nothing to suggest that the NSO's customers did not also use Pegasus in terrorism and crime investigations, and the consortium also found numbers in the data belonging to suspected criminals. However, the broad array of numbers in the list belonging to people who seemingly have no connection to criminality suggests some NSO clients are breaching their contracts with the company, spying on pro-democracy activists and journalists, investigating corruption, as well as political opponents and government critics. Okay, so essentially here, the consortium has found these investigative journalists. They say they do not think it's being used by criminals or terrorists, this Pegasus Project, but rather it's being used by governments, it's being used by intelligence agencies to spy on pro-democracy activists and journalists investigating corruption and political opponents, of course, political adversaries, just like they did to Trump, right? So it goes on. The Pegasus Project is likely to spur debates over government surveillance in several countries suspected of using the technology. The investigation suggests the Hungarian government of Viktor Orban, I guess is their president, appears to have deployed NSO's technology as part of his so-called war on the media, targeting investigative journalists in the country as well as the close circle of one of Hungary's few independent media executives. The leaked data and forensic analysis also suggests NSO's spy tool was used by Saudi Arabia and its close ally, the United Arab Emirates, to target the phones of close associates of the murdered Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi in the months after his death. The Turkish prosecutor investigating his death was also a candidate for targeting, the data leak suggests. Claudio Giannieri, who runs Amnesty International Security Lab, said once a phone was infected with Pegasus, a client of NSO could in effect take control of the phone, enabling them to extract a person's messages, calls, photos, and emails, secretly activate cameras or microphones, and read the contents of encrypted messaging apps such as WhatsApp, Telegram, and Signal. So this is insane technology that they have here. And apparently they're claiming that it also jailbreaks through an Apple. And in some cases, they have these zero-click attacks where you don't even need to click the link. So just to kind of briefly go over here, you got the Hungarian president that they're suspecting he's the one trying to use this technology to attack investigative journalists that are looking through corruption in his country, right? As well as a couple of media executives. Then you also have it in Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates as it relates to Jamal Khashoggi. He was murdered in Saudi Arabia, and his associates, they were spying on them as well. So, and then, you know, this professional Claudio says that you can pretty much control the entire phone. You have access to everything, even encrypted apps. So by accessing GPS and hardware sensors in the phone, he added, and this is Claudio Giannieri saying this, NSO's clients, as in the people using the software, using the spyware, could also secure a log of a person's past movements and tracking their location in real time with pinpoint accuracy, for example, by establishing the direction and speed a car was traveling in. The latest advances in NSO's technology enables it to penetrate phones with a zero-click attack, meaning a user does not even have to click a malicious link for their phone to be infected. Now, Claudio Giannari has identified evidence NSO has been exploiting vulnerabilities associated with iMessage, which comes installed on all iPhones, and has been able to penetrate even the most up-to-date iPhone running the latest version. iOS is in the latest operating system software. His team's forensic analysis discovered successful and attempted Pegasus infections of phones as recently as this month. So, that's all of it. That's all of it. I mean, this is unbelievable. If this software is being used, and just remember, folks, if this is being leaked, right? This is only a couple of countries that have been leaked. This isn't the entire list of all of the customers that Pegasus has, or that rather, and what is it, NSO or NGO? NSO's customers trying to utilize this software, this spyware. I'm very surprised I did not see China's name on there. I wouldn't be surprised if China was involved with that. Now, knowing Israel, probably not. They probably wouldn't be involved. But you got to also understand is the United States government, what they do, they will hire intelligence agencies. They will hire intelligence officers of other countries because the rules, the Constitution does not apply to them the same way. And they will hire them to spy on Americans living in America, such as having this Christopher Steele, the Steele dossier. He was an agent that worked on the FIFA case, but he worked in Britain. So the same rules do not apply to him, right? So they may be doing this. They may be laundering this or doing this illegal action. Hypothetical here, the U.S. government could be doing this illegal action through another country. They could be doing it through another entity. They could be doing it through Saudi Arabia. They could say, hey, if you guys spy on our people, and it's not illegal technically because it's not U.S. citizens, it's not the United States government doing it to U.S. citizens, where really, realistically, it is illegal, but that's their way that they attempt to circumvent the process. So this is an insane story. I highly suggest you read it. Send it to your friends. Let everybody know about it. It's going to be in the show notes. I'm going to have it under the Pegasus Project. It's also going to be, I think, the title of the show. I'm going to have it the Pegasus Project, or what is the Pegasus Project. This Guardian piece, it's going to be, it's free. You don't have to pay to read it. I highly suggest you check it out and just understand the technology right now that's coming out and how the government might attempt to commandeer that technology and take away your civil liberties from you, essentially. And I actually have more on that story. I have this Biden's weaponization of the FBI. I kind of went over recently the Front Page Mag story, how the FBI came out, or the Biden administration came out with a directive describing who extremists are classified as, and pretty much all extremists are just anyone that disagrees with the status quo of what the government says or what the health officials say about COVID-19. I just briefly want to play a clip from Alex Jones' show because he had something to say about it. And I think that Alex Jones may be a little bit hyperbolic at times, but I think right now he's completely justified in what he's saying. And it's like the entire country seems like they're asleep on this. Just check it out. Play clip 3.
I'm going to do the show at this point. In fact, I just need to walk out of here. I can't do it. I can't do it. This is not some theatrics I'm doing. I've reached the point so pissed off at everything that I can't do the show anymore. I got to go rebroadcast for a while. Let me play a couple things. We'll see if I'm able to come back. Probably not. We're going to get wiped out. People aren't serious. They're all in the trance. It's all over. Seriously, screw everybody, man. If you want to let them murder you and your family, just go ahead. I mean, they're having press conferences and they're going to read all your text messages. I mean, screw them. They should all be arrested now. Is there nothing we won't put up with? Seriously. It's obscene to come into the show with Johnny B. Goode playing like we're still in a free country and having a good time. And I'm not mad at the crew. I put that music in there. But that's all over. All this crap's over. Everybody got that? We got serious murderers killing everybody around us. They think it's funny. I think we're in a damn trance, going to put up with it forever. And look at that Raggedy Ann freaking Fauci up there, that Crypt Keeper Biden, the Chi-Com stumbling around, bunch of murderers. I'm going to tell you this again. You see this right here? This is in America, your TV viewer. You see this right here? This says right here, this is the national directive of the president and an executive order saying, if you question lockdowns or forced inoculations or stolen elections, you are a terrorist and you are a white supremacist. And the Pentagon says it's preparing to attack you and your family. I mean, and Senator Josh Hawley says he's concerned about it. Oh, and the governors are concerned about the declaration of war against the American people by criminal Chi-Com agents that have hijacked the nation.
Folks, I'm not, you know, I don't listen to Alex Jones on the regular. I've always not been like some crazy huge supporter. I don't know his conspiracy theories. I don't know how many of them seem to be true, how many are incorrect. I don't know any of that. But right now, this specific clip that I just played, I know it was a little bit long, but I think that is fully necessary. And what he is saying, his characterization, is 100% based. That is reality. This counterterrorism directive that came out, executive order, that is 100% correct. I reported on it weeks ago. That is what currently is going on. We have the Chi-Coms have some serious pull right now and influence in our government. And they seem to kind of be running some operations in a way, or they've infiltrated the psyche of the American and the culture of the American, where we have been so forthright in giving away our rights, our freedoms. I mean, we're currently talking about right now putting masks back on. In New Jersey, at least. That's what we're talking about, putting masks back on. I just saw an article from like the American Union Association for teachers, and they're already talking about making kids come back, any kid that's over the age of 2 years old having to wear a mask in school. We're already talking about that right now in fall. I mean, this is unbelievable. I don't know how much longer this is going to go on with Americans just not standing up. I mean, there has to be some sort of, not even a rebellion, there just has to be some sort of against the status quo behavior. It needs to be in a very slow, incremental way if we're not going to go full-fledged with some of these other countries are right now. I have a clip from, speaking of that, I have a clip coming out of France where President Macron in France is trying to force vaccinations. He's talking about forcing vaccinations on the public there, or else they won't be able to live their normal everyday life. And I have a clip. Check them out in the streets protesting. Now, they are with cops. You have cops in support of the civilian population there in this protest, okay? So, and France is like a kind of like a socialist weird country, but they're very willing to protest, which I always respect. They're yelling liberty, but they're yelling it in their language there. I just don't know. Is it ever going to get to that point in America where we do something like this? Because we were very willing to protest in the streets and just destroy, really riot in the streets and destroy cities over BLM, destroy private property and kill people over that. But are we willing to actually stand up for our rights right now in this country? And that's what Alex Jones is really asking. When is it that people are going to be out of this lull? It seems like everyone's sleeping right now and no one really cares about any of the stuff that's going on. And this town hall piece, it's an op-ed. I mean, you could check it out. I'm not going to go into all the opinions that this guy said, but in the very beginning, at the behest of the Biden administration, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, as in the FBI, is supposedly clamping down on domestic extremism, urging Americans to keep an eye on family members and friends for mobilization to violence. The FBI's targets are homegrown violent extremists, also known as HVEs, and that's what was in this this directive that Alex Jones was talking about. I've talked about it before on this show. More importantly, he does kind of a comparison in this op-ed. He talks about BLM and how that's not a problem. BLM, Antifa, why is it that they're not being considered domestic terrorists or identified as domestic terrorists? And let me just tell you where this ratting out your family comes from. Ratting out your family as not loyalists to the regime, and I hate to invoke the Nazis, but that's what they did. The Nazi Party, they indoctrinate young kids into becoming Nazis in their institutions, and they told them if anybody says anything dissenting against the regime or the Nazi party, you turn them in. You had kids that were turning in their own parents for the Nazi party. Their loyalty was to the Nazi party. And that's exactly what we're doing here. They're asking people, if you're extreme, if you identify as somebody that disagrees with the status quo or what the regime has to say, then your family members should report you. Because that's exactly what the national directive says. I also have, next, I mean, this is like, it's like, you know what, I was talking to a couple of people on Bitcoin Twitter the other day, and they were saying it's like surreal what we're living through right now at this time, and I don't want to piss anyone off, I don't want to make anyone sad or emotional. What we're living through at this time is so surreal. It's like unbelievable. You can't even believe what we're living through right now. There's never been, this is unprecedented territory in America. There's never been anything like this before, where there's suddenly now a spy state. The NSA is targeting journalists like Tucker Carlson. So who knows? They could have been using this software, the NSA themselves. No one even really knows, because they were in on his emails. They were in on his texts. How do they know all this information? They could have been using this software. We're not even sure if this software is in bad hands, good hands. We have no clue. We have no idea. But yes, to get to more of this. Now I have Biden doubling down on Facebook censorship. And this is in regards to the vaccination. This is going to be the big push now. They're going to continue to rail on this. Get vaccinated. I don't really understand the need for vaccination if all of the people that are catching COVID now at this point, it's not people that are vaccinated. It's people that have chosen to be unvaccinated, and they're reaping the consequences, as they should, if you decide to not get vaccinated. But it's not the vaccinated population that is getting sick. But still, Biden and the Democrat Party, the commies, they really worry right now about this. They want everyone vaccinated, which is very troubling. Here's him doubling down on that Facebook censorship, where he said Facebook is killing people. Play clip 6.
You said last week that companies and platforms like Facebook are killing people by letting...
I mean, precisely what I said. I'm glad you asked me that question. One, I had just read that on the Facebook pointed out that it was pointed out that Facebook, of all the misinformation, 60% of the misinformation came from 12 individuals. That's what the article said. So I was asked that question about what do I think is happening? Facebook isn't killing people. These 12 people are out there giving misinformation. Anyone listening to it is getting hurt by it. It's killing people. It's bad information. My hope is that Facebook, instead of taking it personally that somehow I'm saying Facebook is killing people, that they would do something about the misinformation, the outrageous misinformation about the vaccine. That's what I meant.
So Biden doubles down on Facebook censorship. He encourages Facebook to work as a enforcement arm of speech for the DNC, for the establishment, for the Communist Party in America. Now, what he's talking about is referring to these 12 accounts. These 12 accounts, what they are is really just conservative accounts. Dan Bongino mentioned this on his show the other day. He is getting fact-checked to hell. He's getting fact-checked like crazy. He's getting ready right now to launch a lawsuit. I'm pretty sure he's been contacting lawyers. He's been talking to other conservatives. I'm pretty sure he's getting ready to launch a lawsuit against some of these fact-checkers, such as Lead Stories. We have fact-checkers, people that are checking. And then you look at their credentials, they're still in college, these fact checkers. They pay them nothing to do this. They have no experience, they have no specialization in anything, and then they're going forward and telling people what they're saying just is not true. They're taking things out of context purposefully, so then they can mark it as not true because it's out of context. That's what they're doing right now. The things that they're claiming, the things that they're fact checking, if you will, mostly it's subjective things. It's not factual material. And they just classified as misinformation. Biden's not going to give you an example of it because it's not really misinformation, and you would have to actually go check it for yourself, and you'd realize that it's not misinformation. So now I have Kamala Harris, and I think that there's going to be some serious ramifications for the government here. I don't know if they can really, if they have the power to even speak about shutting down dissent, shutting down speech. And do we live, I want to live in a country, I'm okay with misinformation to begin with. If it even was misinformation, I'm okay with that, because we live in a free country where there's free speech. So I'm okay with misinformation. Everyone's smart enough to be able to read and comprehend which information they think is the best, and you take that information yourself and you put it into effect. To begin with, science is something that's always changing. It's very malleable because scientists are constantly fighting each other. Now, with COVID-19, we've seen really a shutdown of the scientific community, anyone that dissents to the regime. So I don't really know exactly where we're going to go from here. I think there's going to be some lawsuits. I'm hoping those lawsuits are class action and they win. I mean, I would love to jump in a class action lawsuit against YouTube. They just took my last video down that I put up because it had something to do with elections and voting. All true statements that I made. And then once I appealed it, I got shot down in like 20 minutes. The person probably didn't even review it, probably didn't watch the video. It's just probably an automated system that kicks people out automatically. saying that I'm spreading misinformation. So I'd be very willing myself to jump in on a class action lawsuit against YouTube as well. I have no problem doing that. If I had, you know, some big dogs with me myself, I would do it as well. As I have said before, folks, I'm going to reiterate it. Just follow me on Rumble. I'm there, as well as wherever you get your podcast. That's the best place to listen to me. I don't think I'm going to be getting shut down from those anytime soon, especially Rumble. Rumble seems not to give two Fs. They continue to do their thing. Now the podcast channels and networks, maybe they could try to take me off Apple. I just don't have a big enough. I'm just not big enough to get taken off Apple, I think. And if I am taken off Apple, everybody can always just go listen on Spotify. And I think Spotify, considering the way that they stood by Joe Rogan, I have a feeling that Spotify would just continue to say, okay, all the conservatives can come over here. I may be wrong with this, but I would think if there was any safe place for podcasting, if I had to guess of a big one, it would probably be Spotify. But yeah, so I have Kamala Harris messaging how it's patriotic to get a vaccine. Play clip two.
I do believe that the act of getting vaccinated is the very essence of what the Bible tells us when it says, love thy neighbor. Right? Because what we know is, one can ask, well, who is one's neighbor? Is it the person who lives to my left, lives to my right? I know them, may borrow a cup of sugar, right? But what we know it means when we talk about love thy neighbor is that, yes, it may be the person next door, and it may be the man on the side of the road, and it may be a perfect stranger. And in the face of that stranger, you see a friend. That's what this is about. And so by getting vaccinated, you are loving your neighbor.
Yeah, I'm sorry I had to put everybody through that there. It's very slow, very uncharismatic, unlikable. I'm sorry, it wasn't patriotism. It was she invoked the Bible, Christianity, which I'm pretty sure she's not even a Christian. So it's kind of weird that she decided to invoke that because I think her audience was Christian, maybe. I don't really know what else to say. I mean, in New Jersey, I live here. I don't even talk to my neighbors. I don't even say hello to them. That's how it is here. You go to Missouri, you go down south, you go, South Carolina. Everybody says hello. Everybody knows each other. I don't think I'm helping my neighbor by getting vaccinated if my neighbor's already gotten vaccinated. I just think it's a very trite point that she's making. It's fallacious. There's no point in making a point like that other than just an appeal to religion and some sort of virtue. And that's really what the Democrat Party is all about. They make it like they're more virtuous than you are on the right side. They care more about people than you do. But notice, it's very uncaring when they confiscate your wealth and give it to other people. They only care. They only have a priority for certain people. And then they're above you. And that's the way they win votes, of course. By stealing from you and giving to somebody else. There's nothing caring or considerate about stealing money from one person and then giving it to somebody else. You can't find that in the Bible. You cannot find in the Bible what the Democrat Party does, what their platform is. You cannot find in the Bible Jesus robbing Peter to feed Paul. That's just not there. You won't find it anywhere. So when you hear these commies come out and say Jesus was a socialist, Jesus was, you know, he was a communist, he was a redistributionist, he was none of those things. You cannot find it in the Bible where he specifically robbed someone and then gave it to somebody else, because that's what the Democrat Party's platform is, and that is what they do in action when they're in power. Okay? So this whole thing, this idea of invoking religion is just her way to try to attempt to relate and look more sanctimonious and virtuous than all of her peers around her and the obviously the Republicans or the right side, the conservatives. So I have a new report. This is a topic from over the weekend showing that the American Navy is not ready for combat, and it's partially mostly because of some of these woke standards they have now. That's a Fox News article. You had retired Admiral Mark Montgomery. He had a report. He interviewed a bunch of people that are in the Navy, the U.S. Navy, high-ranking officials, of course, under anonymity. They did so. Now, the report noted that one anonymous lieutenant currently on active duty said, and I'm quoting here, and I believe it's a woman, I think. Yes, it is a woman. It's a black woman. She said, and I quote, "Sometimes I think we care more about whether we have enough diversity officers than if we'll survive a fight with the Chinese Navy. It's criminal. They think my only value is as a black woman. But you cut our ship open with a missile and we'll all bleed the same color," the lieutenant said. Yeah, so this guy, he interviewed a bunch of high-ranking officials in the Navy. The Navy is saying, we care too much about diversity, we care too much about this woke equality crap, and we're not prepared to fight the Chinese Navy right now. We're weak. We're feeble. So he noted that there were suspicions of, and this is Admiral Mark Montgomery, this retired admiral, and this is after having these deep conversations with these high-ranking officials in the Navy. He noted that there were suspicions of underinvestment in officer training and under-resourced ship maintenance. However, what we didn't know was how perceptive the young sailors, the men and women who crew our ships are. Montgomery went on to say that the report showed that the sailors indicated there was an over-focus on administration and trainings, which was pulling us away from our focus on warfighting. So yeah, there's a bunch of stupid diversity training going on. If you've ever been part of, you just get hired, new hiring process, you go to orientation, they have you sit there for 3 days, it's a waste of everybody's time. They go through the stupid training, the woke training a little bit now, much more than before. They give you a little background on the industry or a little background on the company you're working for. It's all things that are really trite and meaningless to you. They don't mean much. It has nothing to do with doing your job. So that's really what most of these officers are saying, is we're seeing a lot of administrative crap. It's a waste of money. That's the way government usually works. It's heavy administratively, very top heavy, and we're not focusing on war fighting. And there's no focus really on keeping us manned on the ship, the maintenance, as well as some of these just keeping us stocked on what we need, like missiles. So other complaints within the U.S. Navy outlined in the report include distracted leaders, excessive fear of bad publicity, and the loss of focus on growing good ship handlers. The report noted, and I'm quoting from the report here, "Sailors and officers lack sufficient resiliency and are unprepared for the difficulties of combat, in part because their training has de-emphasized persistent exposure to adversity." End quote. So really, our Navy's going super woke, they're weak, they're not training them as hard as they used to, and because of that, in turn, they're not ready for combat, they're not combat prepared right now at this point. So to go off kind of some of this woke stuff that's going on, we have Project Veritas striking once again. In this case, it's with Hasbro, an employee from Hasbro that became a whistleblower because of some of the stuff they were teaching in some of these administrative courses. Play clip 7.
David Johnson, I'm a packaging engineer for Hasbro. They are attempting to covertly push CRT, critical race theory, through branding and messaging through their products.
Explain what we're looking at here.
This is the program developed by the Conscious Kid, which is working with Hasbro to teach children about racial bias at an early age.
By 3 to 6 months, babies are beginning to notice and already express preference by race. By age 3, children are already starting to apply stereotypes. They also may use racist language intentionally at this age.
This is critical race theory in practice. It's a mainstream ideology now, and it's in a lot of our institutions. People that I've spoken to about these issues, and I'm trying to explain to them why teaching people to segregate based on race or by gender or by any other inherent characteristic is wrong. If you want your children to be looking at people based on their race, then you are opposing Dr. Martin Luther King's dream.
So yeah, this guy, David Johnson, he was a packaging engineer. I assume what he probably does is he's able to find the most efficient way to pack the truck. I'm pretty sure that's what packaging engineers do. They get paid pretty good money. That education, generally, engineers, when they come out of college, they're much more on the conservative side than the left-wing side. This guy specifically is black. Not that it matters, but it matters to the leftist liberal hack communists. He's saying here that they are teaching critical race theory through the products that they're selling at Hasbro. And they have this program now to teach, they call it through the Conscious Kid, who's working with Hasbro, teaching, and you kind of heard those, that woman's voice, if you're listening on podcast, she's saying at 3 years old, kids start to apply stereotypes and they start using racist language intentionally at the age of 3, which just, like, they're making it, like, inherently you can't do anything about it. Children are racist. It has nothing to do with their upbringing or who raises them. That this is just a genetic actualization that will happen. It's not something that is so, you're not socialized into racism. You're just automatically born racist is what they're implying in this very short clip. And it's amazing. Really, it's pathetic. And this is what's going on. And honestly, it really makes me not want to go get a new job. It doesn't make me want to go and leave my current job, go to a new job myself. Because I don't want to have to be conflicted. I don't want to have to deal with this and not speak up myself. Because I don't feel like doing that. And I'm sure many of you at home, this is very conflicting. Because this is something you lose your job over if you disagree with the narrative here. Just as David, I just read something like David's been placed on suspension. It was a very recent post I just saw, so he's probably suspended, they're probably going to fire him, they'll build up a case, whatever, and now he's out of a job for speaking up and doing is what is the right thing to do. So it's just really rough having to deal with that. So I have the evidence, I have some more evidence out of the Georgia audit. I have it off of VoterGA's site. You can see this all in the show notes. It's going to be titled Evidence Out of Georgia Audit. I'm going to have it. It's going to be VoterGA.org. Now, that is the independent audit team that audited Georgia. I'm going to kind of go over some of these statistics, and these are the stats that got me kicked off of YouTube, my second strike. So I'm one strike away from being completely suspended. I'm trying to figure out whether or not I'm going to keep posting on YouTube or just really wait for these strikes to wear away, or if I'm just going to continue and get myself banned. I'm not really sure at this point what I'm going to do. So it starts off, and this is kind of some of the statistics I gave you guys last week. The team's analysis revealed that 923 out of 1,539 mail-in ballot batches, files contained votes incorrectly reported in Fulton County's official November 3rd, 2020 results. These inaccuracies are due to discrepancies in votes for Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and total votes cast compared to their reported audit totals for respective batches. Thus, the error reporting rate at Fulton County's hand count audit is a whopping 60%. So yes, these mail-in ballot batches, they come in batches, these mail-in ballots, right? So out of these 1,500 of them, 900 of them contained incorrect numbers, incorrect voting numbers that just did not match and comport, right? So that's a 60% rate. So one type of error discovered involved duplicate results reporting for batches. The team found at least 36 batches of mail-in ballots with 4,255 extra votes were redundantly added to Fulton County's November audit results. This includes 3,390 extra votes for Biden, 865 extra votes for Trump, and 43 extra votes for Jorgensen. So yeah, they did things to pump this up. They multiplied the votes, like I showed you last show on Tucker Carlson, where people were double counting votes purposely, batches that they knew Joe Biden was looking better on, and this audit found that they did that because they found ballots that looked exactly the same in the system. But it is not simply a case of errors. The VoterGA team found 7 falsified audit tally sheets containing fabricated vote totals for their respective batches. For example, a batch containing 60 ballot images for Joe Biden, 50 for Donald Trump, was reported as 100 for Biden and 0 for Trump. The 7 batches of ballot images with 554 votes for Biden, only 140 votes for Trump, and 11 votes for Joe Jorgensen, who is the Libertarian, had tally sheets in the audit falsified to show 850 votes for Biden, 0 votes for Trump, and 0 votes for Jorgensen. So that's another thing they screwed up. Fulton County failed to include over 100,000 tally sheets, including more than 50,000 for mail-in ballots, when the results were originally published for the full hand count audit conducted by the Office of Secretary of State for November 3rd, 2020. Those tally sheets remained missing until late February when the county supplemented their original audit results. That's unbelievable. So these tally sheets, that's them auditing. In these tally sheets, they were missing 50,000 tally sheets or 50,000 ballots worth of tally sheets they were missing in this case. And that was the audit that was done by the Secretary of State. Secretary of State is a Republican, but doesn't seem to really be much of a Republican. And apparently those showed back up in late February. So it's very skeptical, everything that's going on here in Fulton County especially. Practitioners contend that Fulton County did not provide Dropbox transfer forms for at least 3 pickup days when obligated to do so via an open records request. Those missing forms are still needed to provide chain of custody proof for about 5,000 ballots. So you had 3 days where they were not filling out the paperwork they needed. And now 5,000 ballots are unaccounted for. They don't really know. There's no custody of proof for those ballots. Now, the voter GA team also found over 200 Fulton County mail-in ballot images containing votes not included in the hand count audit results for the November election. All these anomalies are now included in the Fulton County ballot inspection lawsuit as additional counts of how the equal protection and due process constitutional rights of Georgia were violated. Georgia voters were violated. So yeah, I mean, that's just more information. There's a lot here. I also have an Arizona audit. This one's kind of more in the beginnings here. It seems like this voter GA, they're finding more and more stuff, and it looks like there may be some sort of court case filed. The lawsuit already is filed, but they're gonna add this to that lawsuit. Now, Arizona, it seems like they're kind of still in the beginnings of this. The Arizona audit, I have a Western Journal piece describing that. Now, among the findings revealed during Thursday's hearing was the fact that there was no record for 74,000. Oh, and let me just remind you, too, as well. I forgot to mention this. In Georgia, I'm pretty sure Trump only lost by like 11,000 votes. So if all of this ends up being true, this puts Trump above Biden by the amount of just sheer numbers, I'm pretty sure here. Because you have 50,000 ballots that are just unaccounted for when in terms of the tallies, and then you got another 850 vote. Like, once you do all the math, there is more than 11,000 votes that could be considered invalid. So Arizona audit. Among the findings revealed during Thursday's hearing was the fact that there was no record for 74,000 ballots received and included in 2020's election results ever being mailed out. A number of additional inconsistencies regarding ballots and documents related to ballots were found during the audit as well. For example, former Arizona Secretary of State and Arizona Senate liaison Ken Bennett claimed the audit's examination of duplicate ballots, ballots typically produced when a ballot becomes damaged or is improperly marked, found some troubling irregularities. So yes, you have 74,000 ballots pretty much that there's no record of the chain of custody on, like 74th, and I've been reading things about this. They're saying they look like they were printed out of a machine, so who the heck knows what's going on with these 74,000 ballots. There's no record of them being received. There's no record of chain of custody, so it's very weird what's going on. And now, additionally, they have this other duplicate ballot situation with more troubling irregularities, and we're going to read that off now. Now, this is what Bennett had to say about it, and I quote, "It has created great difficulty to try to match up a duplicated ballot to its duplicate." And he's noting that there's some serious serial numbers. There's some serial numbers that were completely missing from the duplicate ballots, which is very troubling, meaning that you could say, oh, this one's damaged, so, you know, we're going to make a duplicate ballot of it. And then you can't now you can't find that original damaged ballot, but you have the duplicate. But guess what? The duplicate doesn't have a serial number to trace it back to, so no one really knows if this ballot is valid or not. So other serial numbers were printed over black square alignment marks, making them difficult to read. So it is very weird what's going on. A number of additional inconsistencies were found, reportedly including ink bleeds in incorrect places, ballots marked and filled incorrectly, or marked and filed incorrectly, and irregularities regarding voter rolls. So yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in both Arizona as well as Georgia. And I think these are the best ones to go for, because I know Fulton County is super corrupt. It's Atlanta. I mean, everyone knows it's corrupt over there. It's also a red state. Georgia's pretty deep red. Same thing with Arizona's pretty red too. So it's kind of obvious at this point that something had to be done. If you just completely want to say I'm not listening to any of or dismiss all of the anomalies I've gone over on the show so deep in the very beginning of the show, I started around October, so I started right before the election, and I was getting some really good content about the anomalies with the ballot batches. It just didn't make sense. There were so many things that were outside of the standard deviation. And then the bellwether counties, 19 of the 20 of them went to Donald Trump, and those have always been a predictor of who the winner is going to be. There's things that haven't happened in voting history in 100 years. So there's a lot of inconsistencies, irregularities, and anomalies that you can use to attempt, and it can't be anything that can really invalidate a vote, but at least attempt to open up a case and audit like they're doing right now. So, my very last article of the day I have here, Democrats, they're throwing in the PRO Act with reconciliation bill that they're trying to push through for the budget, written by Zachary Halashak. And I just kind of want to start off actually just playing a clip of Joe Biden talking about how there is no inflation right now going on, and it's all short term, and it's not going to affect any of us in the long term. Play clip five.
We also know that as our economy has come roaring back, we've seen some price increases. Some folks have raised worries that this could be a sign of persistent inflation. But that's not our view. Our experts believe, and the data shows, that most of the price increases we've seen were expected and are expected to be temporary.
So yeah, I think Joe Biden's living in la-la land. He's quoting government officials and government offices saying, well, they say that there's not going to be an inflation. It's just temporary right now. I mean, I just went down to Wildwood. I was paying like $15 for a meal every single night. It was to the point, and drinks as well. I mean, drinks were crazy expensive. And I don't think it has anything to do with it being a tourist location. I think it has to do with the shutdowns. People are trying to make their money back, all the money they lost. And then the increase in products that you're selling now, inflation-wise, now you have to, because the margins that you make in the food industry are so small anyway, now you have to jack the price up. I really do think that America's hurting. I've noticed that things are costing way more money than they used to, especially in Jersey. Maybe other states that are like, maybe Floridians aren't hit as hard as the New Jerseyans are because we shut down for such a long time. But we definitely have this looming inflation, and throughout history in America, there's always been inflation that has just kind of continued, but it's been a slow looming inflation. Here, it seems like it's going to be exacerbated. So him even saying that inflation's temporary just is not true. It's never been true in American history since at least 1914 with the Federal Reserve, who has centralized all the power of printing money in the government, in this centralized bank. Ever since then, there's always been inflation. So for him to say that there's not inflation and it's going to be temporary and then it's going to swing back, it's just not true. 25% of all U.S. dollars in circulation have been printed within the last year. We haven't seen those type of numbers since before the Great Depression, before the stock market crash, where we saw something like, I want to say it was 60% of the currency was printed in like 10 years leading up to that. And then we saw a giant crash. We saw the government really getting involved in too many things. In terms of regulating how much people get paid an hour, like the minimum wage, and then regulating how much things cost, like regular groceries as well. They've done that before, and that's kind of what led up to the crash, the stock market crash, and why the unemployment was 25% at one time. So the Democrats are throwing this PRO Act in the reconciliation budget plan. Senator Bernie Sanders said that the organized labor-backed PRO Act will be included in a $3.5 trillion spending package set to be pushed through the Senate by Democrats. Now, the spending package, I believe, is their budget, I think, as well as they have like $500 billion of that money going to what they call infrastructure as well. So to go on just about this PRO Act, I've explained it very briefly before. I'm kind of going to go a little bit more in-depth about it. So the PRO Act would enact sweeping changes to the employment landscape, including adjusting what kind of workers can be classified as independent contractors who work for a company but don't have to be given mandated employer benefits, such as healthcare. Corporations such as Uber might be compelled to place workers on their payroll instead of just paying for them for the services provided by drivers. So kind of break this down. You could be a 1099 employee. A 1099 employee is a contract worker, really. It's kind of like an at-will employment kind of deal. So if you're a writer, if you're a journalist, that is at-will, unless if you specifically are, let's say you work for the Washington, work for the Washington Examiner, right? You can be on their roll, they pay you whatever the payment is. If you want to go and you want to work for another company, just write one freelance article, one freelance piece, and you want to send it to, like, you know, the Washington Post, let's say, they're not going to let you do that because then you would have to be on the payroll over at that company. So it actually It diminishes your ability to get extra hours working. If I want to go work other than what my full-time job is right now, if I want to go work a couple hours here and there driving Uber, I wouldn't be able to do it because they would need to classify me on the pay. They'd have to put me on the payroll structure and they would have to give me full-on benefits through this PRO Act, which then in essence would jack the prices up of Uber and really would actually probably just put Uber out of business because then it's just unaffordable to have Uber. And the reason for this is because the Democrats love big union. They love the idea of the taxi companies doing well because it's all about greasing the palms. It's all about lobbying and the government. And that's what the Democrats are all about. They're all about big government working, in collaboration with some of this big industry, some of these big companies, and some of these big unions. So the act would essentially end the right to work laws that have been enacted in 27 different states that stop unions from requiring that employees pay dues or fees. The PRO Act says that employees who benefit from a collective bargaining agreement can be compelled to contribute to the union. Yes, so meaning right now there's 27 different right to work laws. If you're in a union, you don't want to pay the dues to that union because you don't agree with their collective bargaining agreement. You think it's a crap agreement. You can choose to opt out, and that's legal. Now what the government wants to do is make you pay those union dues no matter how crappy your union is doing, thus creating a union monopolization of working where every single person is now has to pay union dues even if they disagree with what their union is doing in the collective bargaining process. Like I said, I've been part of three different unions. I've had one that's actually decent from what I saw and what I thought. I've worked for two terrible unions, just awful. They have a monopoly on the system, these specific unions. And that's the reason why they're so piss poor and terrible in their job, because there's no, you know, you can't go anywhere else. You can't unionize somewhere else. Whereas some of these other unions, they know there's competition. Specifically, the private industry unions are actually usually better if I had to take a pick at one of the two, and it's because there are other options. So there is somewhat like of an incentive to do a decent job as a union representative. But from my experience, what I've seen in unions is that people that don't want to work get away with murder, and everybody else that works hard has redistributionist programs, has money taken out of their paycheck and given to the person that's not showing up to work every single day. Or if you're on the very bottom of the structure, because unionizing, collective bargaining is the only way that you can do the exact same job as somebody else and get paid way less than them. It's the only way that this is done because you opted into this collective. That's like the only way where it's actually allowed to discriminate by age or experience. You can't have the exact same name position as somebody else and get paid half of what they get paid. You can only do that in a unionized program with a collective bargaining process. So it goes on. It also allows the National Labor Relations Board to impose new fines for labor violations and prevent employers from permanently replacing employees who engage in strikes. The act additionally makes it easier for unions to be formed by stopping companies from holding mandatory meetings to express opposition to unionization, among other provisions. So yes, if you have a bunch of employees, kind of like how Amazon recently did in Alabama, if you have a bunch of employees that want to unionize, this would now prohibit them from meeting with the employer and working out like a little side deal. This makes them automatically have to kind of go to the unionization. This also stops the employer from trying to educate their employees and bring up statistics like Amazon did, saying, hey, just so you know, you're going to get paid this much less, you're going to get this much less in benefits, because all of the arbitration that we have to go through with the union every single day is going to cost us money. It's going to cost us lawyer fees, and that gets very expensive. And those lawyer fees are really just going to be taken out of your pay. That's what will end up happening, because we're not going to be able to give you the same amount of raises if we're paying litigation and lawyer fees and we're being less efficient than we were before, because we're taking care of people on the payroll that don't want to work and want to stay home and go through this workman comp process through the union. So it stops you from being able to even talk or discuss with your employees if they want to unionize or not. Try to just say, hey, listen, it's probably not a good idea, and I'll give you some statistics that show, because you're a hard worker, this is not going to benefit you in the long run. It completely stops that from happening with the employer. Really, this is more than, you could talk about whatever, if you want to talk about constitutional rights, it's unconstitutional to tell employers that they can't talk to their employees, that like the government's going to be all over them, that now the unions have more power than the employer. I mean, it's just stupid. This PRO Act, if this gets passed, we're going to have some huge problems in the labor industry. You're going to see skyrocketing prices on a lot of goods because you're going to see a unionization of a lot of these truck drivers, the ones that are transporting the goods from one place to another. If you have to pay them more money, then automatically everything else has to go up because they're the ones that transport all the products and all the goods. All right, so I got a couple of quick headlines here to kind of end the show. You got no Capitol rioters were charged with sedition or treason, even though the media played this out as an insurrection that would result in people getting charged with sedition or treason against their country, because that's what an insurrection would be in that case, considering they were attacking the Capitol building. If that was a real insurrection, those people would have been charged with sedition or treason. Obviously, that did not happen because the left-wing corporate media, legacy media hacks, they were incorrect, as always. BLM sides with the Cuban regime. This is a Fox News article. This one's great. BLM pretty much comes out. They blame America for all the failings of Cuba rather than the Cuban government. They come out in support of the Cuban government and then blame the United States government for the embargo, not knowing any of the rules, which I said before, the embargo that's been going on since, I think, 1958. And it's only an embargo. The only thing that... It doesn't include medicine or food, and it's been around since 1958. Why is it suddenly now that this is a problem? This has been around forever. The reason that there's such economic disparity over in Cuba has nothing to do with America. It's moreover to do with their inhumane government. So yeah, this is pretty much Black Lives Matter. I don't even want to show it. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. How much time do I have left in the show? Maybe I'll do it just because, no, I don't have enough time to show it. It's just so stupid. It's blame the American government for destabilizing the region. It's something that was done in 1958, decided to, you know, destabilize the region now, 70 years later. It's just ridiculous. So, Biden's IRS sends a pro-Biden message. I thought this was funny. National Review piece. The IRS sent out like a pretty much a campaign message for Joe Biden, talking about all the money that he's given everybody with all the spending bills that they passed through. I don't know why specifically Biden needed to do this. I think Trump tried to do something like this and they shut him down. He wanted to have his name on the checks that went out to people, I think, and they shut him down from doing that, which is whatever. I think the whole thing's stupid. Like, you shouldn't be happy that you guys shut down the entire system and now... like, everyone has to get a paycheck and sit at home. No one should be happy about that. It's not helping anybody in the long run. It's a short-term decision. It's a high-time preference decision that will lose you money in the long run, in the future, in the very near future from what it looks like here. And they probably had extra money in the IRS budget to do this rather than trying to do it out of a White House or a campaign budget. So that's what they did. I don't really know if you're allowed to do that, to be honest. If this might be an unconstitutional thing, or this is against some sort of U.S. code. You can't use other government departments to push your agenda and push your campaign for the next election. I don't think you can really do that. Otherwise, you know, every single president would do something like that. So Hamas has been training kids in Gaza. This is a very interesting story. It's like a summer camp. They train kids to become violent extremists in the Gaza Strip. Hamas gives them AKs, does whatever, and that's really all I got for that. And the very last one is, I highly suggest you guys, got Black Rifle distancing themselves from their conservative base. This is a post-millennial piece. Yeah, you had the owner of Black Rifle come out, say pretty much, I want to disassociate myself with the conservative right. It's too much to have to defend them, this, that. He talks about the Proud Boys a little bit. I will not be buying Black Rifle coffee now. I'm done with them. They've been very kind of wish-washy when they talked about that. I forgot that kid from Wisconsin, the kid that defended himself with a rifle. And then he had a Black Rifle Coffee t-shirt on, and the owner of the company needed to make a statement to come out and say, we don't endorse him. Like, yeah, no shit, you guys don't endorse him. He's just wearing a freaking t-shirt. But he felt the need to come out and make that statement. I just think it's very weird. They're kind of playing the political middle, thinking that they're going to get people from the left wing to buy some of their coffee. But there's also a lot of other right-wing coffee makers. I think the one's called, like, right-wing, literally it's called right-wing coffee. And I think that right-wing brew, if you want to go there and you want to buy from them, they're openly conservative. They don't care. They're unapologetic in it. And they look like they have some pretty solid stuff on their side. I was looking at them earlier. So, yeah, I greatly appreciate everybody tuning in. Please drop the mic. Let people know about the podcast. Like, share, subscribe, all the regular stuff. And, yes, I will see you all next time. I greatly appreciate it. And everybody have a great week.